रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 5 लंका बाय मूनलाइट. Then the queen of night sailed into view of Marathi of matchless intellect into the expanse of the sky like a proud bull roaming free through its herd and casting the net of moonlight over all the quarters through the power of her illimitable radiance. She brought delight to the hearts of all, hence she was the dispeller of grief and sorrow that dogged the footsteps of sin. The oceans raise their clasped hands of waves to welcome her approach. She makes bright everything she touches in this mortal world. And Hanuman casts his eyes upon the moon, thus sailing in the limitless expanse of the heavens. The Mandara mountains, the oceans at the hour of twilight, and the red lotus of the pools shine in matchless beauty. Even so, the splendor and radiance have their eternal abode in the queen of the night. Roaming at will through the snow-white sky, she resembled a lordly swan disporting herself in its silver cage, or the monarch of the woods walking through the huge cavern in the Mount Mandara, or the proud warrior on the back of his lordly elephant. It reminded one of a splendid bull with its crescent horns, or the snow-clad peaks of mountains, or an elephant with tusks shod with gold. Free from the mire of dewdrops, the moon shone pure, hiding from view the planets Venus and Jupiter. Her supreme pallor brought into prominence the inevitable spot in her, and that added to her charms. Verily, she gave one the idea of the tawny-maned king of beasts, reclining at his ease on the broad slabs without his cave, or a huge elephant in rut, roaming through the wide fields of battle, or a monarch fresh from his coronation bath. The ineffable radiance of the moon dispelled the darkness of the world. The Rakshasas came out of their haunts in search of human flesh. Dames of unsurpassed loveliness put away from themselves pride, haughtiness, and anger. The hour drew near when the earth vied with the abode of the immortal gods in everything that delights the heart of man. The soft melody of the lute and other musical instruments fell sweetly upon the ear. Devoted wives slept soundly in the arms of the lords. Rakshasas and other creatures that roamed abroad at night gambled in all their amazing fierceness and strength. The inmates of the Rakshasa homes indulged freely in the delights of the table and lost count of every important duty. Elephants, horses, chariots, and other conveyances met the eye on all sides. The goddess of victory and heroism held sway over Lanka. In the lordly mansion, some exchanged light banter. Some cast their huge, well-shaped arms on the shoulders of their friends. Some raved in sweet incoherence under the influence of liquor. Some bullied one another. Others shouted their war cries and slapped their huge chests and shoulders. Some cast their limbs on their beloved that lay by them. Some masqueraded themselves many a wise to secure the affections of those whom they loved. In other houses, some were found stringing huge bows. Others of bewitching loveliness cast sweet scents and perfume over themselves. Other ladies woke from a deep sleep and after a short chat with their beloved, fell asleep again. Yet other haughty beauties disported themselves with their husbands and indulged in silver laughter and sweet dalliance, while some others sighed deep like a wounded serpent, having been somehow offended by their lords. A huge expanse of water, a boundless gulf teeming with fierce serpents of huge bulk, that was the view that flashed across one at the sight of Lanka, with its elephants roaring like cloud banks, full of good men and pure who were rightly reverenced by others, and of veterans in war sighing deep only because they could not come upon anyone to afford them even a short hour of satisfaction in a trial of valor. Marathi passed through the town, delighting his eyes with the sights of men of high intellect, sweet-spoken citizens, devout and pious souls, heroes famed through the countless worlds, and other Rakshasas of diverse shapes, habits, customs, and happy names. His eyes fell upon others of perfect proportions, upon many who delighted in strange diversified traits, upon others whose forms matched their character, upon women who shed a halo around them, and many others to whom nature denied attractions of any kind. He failed not to notice that some approached the age of marriage, others of sweet innocence and pure, other paragons of fidelity, yet others whose hearts swayed between the lords and wine, upon other Rakshasa ladies brilliant like the famous constellations, others illumined the space around with the splendor of their forms, others were beside themselves with joy, and yet others met his eye as they slept in the arms of their beloved, like a lovely bird at night hid under the cloud of flowers. Yet other ladies of pure and righteous soul found a place in the inmost depths of their husband's heart and lay on the bosom of their lords in the sweet moonlight on white terraces rendered whiter yet by the dazzling moonlight. Some maidens flashed like chain lightning in that their garments were lightly cast aside by the envious breeze. Yet others lay like matchless statues fashioned of priceless molten gold. Yet others resemble the pale moon in the freshness of their grief at the separation from their beloved lords. Some damsels sought out their lovers and indulged themselves to their heart's content. Faces that put to shame the moon in her fall. Eyes delicately shaded with slightly curved lashes and ornaments that flashed like forked lightning met his eye everywhere. He came not upon the lady Sita of matchless beauty and unparalleled virtue. His eyes hungered for the sight of the daughter of Janaka, the wise one, brought up in the highest traditions of the race. Tall and stately as a creeper covered with bright flowers, he was yet to meet the lordly queen of Ayodhya, the peerless lady who came down into the mortal world to accomplish the work that the Lord set himself to do. She was the best exponent of the wifely virtues that came down along the stream of time in the Aryan race. She counted her life as nothing, torn away from the side of her beloved Rama. Her heart was ever with him, and she ever lived in his heart of hearts, for they were the divine primeval pair. Marathi came not upon Janaki, the crest jewel in the diadem of the noble womanhood. Consumed with the raging fire of grief at the separation from her lord, her voice almost lost in sobs that kept pace with her fast-falling tears, she yet wore upon her person the ornaments that reminded her of the happy days she spent with Rama in the forests of Dandaka. Her eyelashes bristling with joy, her voice soft and melodious as the notes of the cuckoo in spring, she reminded one of the lovely peacock dancing in all the splendor of her thousand-eyed feathers at the sight of the black storm clouds. And Marathi's eyes were not blessed yet to catch a sight of that lovely vision. Pale and attenuated like the moon in her dull orb of fading rays, like a golden statue coated with dust and dirt, cruel grief consuming her heart like a deep wound that healed over apparently, while the barb and the poisoned flesh, the rankles within her dear hopes, all shattered like fleecy clouds before a gale. Such was Lady of Rama, the beloved wife of Rama, whom Marathi sought in vain. He explored spaces where even his sire, the Lord of Air, had no access to, but his heart was a stranger to peace and joy, in that he came not upon the object of his quest, the Lady Sita, the paragon of wives, dear to the soul of Rama, the Lord of the entire world, of sweet speech, of mighty import. And Hanuman was a prey to dark despondency, even as one bereft of his senses. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.